Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Christmas is coming. Did you know about this? Christmas, we do it every year. Well, Stephen Colbert said, it's that time of year where children lie awake in their beds listening for the click-click of their mom entering promo codes. It might be hard to find the perfect gift this season because the supply chain is still a mess. That's why really smart shoppers don't wait. They start trampling people weeks ago. One survey shows that 20% of shoppers plan to order more gifts in case some orders are delayed or canceled. So if you're doing the 12 days of Christmas, be safe and double your order, said Stephen Colbert. That's 16 maids a-milking, 20 lords a-leaping, and forget about 12 drummers drumming. Just hire the Texas A&M marching band. Colbert quoted a retail expert who described the market as, they're eager to shop and anxious about the execution. Colbert joked, coincidentally, eager to shop and anxious about the execution was also the title of Marie Antoinette's memoir. That's great. James Corden has hosted the Late Late Show for 1,000 episodes. Corden told Variety, these are very difficult jobs to leave because you work with incredible people. You do something that's really amazing every day. I never used to understand before I started this how people could do these talk show hosting jobs for 15, 20, 25 years, but I see it now. His contract is up in August. He told Variety, he's not sure how or when he'll decide what to do. I'm so conscious of wanting it to always be fresh. I want it to be fresh and alive. And in the same token, I never really saw this job as a final destination. I saw it as a stop on a journey. So I honestly don't know the answer to that. Stop. You are totally renewing. Come on. The Late Late Show with James Corden premiered March 23rd, 2015. James Corden is British, in case you haven't noticed, and most shows back there air weekly. So when he hears 1,000 shows, he thinks, wow, that's a lot of TV we've made. There's a lot of stuff we put out there. I feel very proud of the show, and I feel equally as proud of the environment we've created here. That's the group of people that we work with, the personalities, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, he loves his coworkers. We're very fortunate to have Reggie Watts, who's an incredible comedian. Yes, he is. One of our head writers, Eden Carmel, I always forget that, is an incredibly accomplished stand-up comedian. This just starts to become more of an organic conversation than a run of 15 setup/punchline jokes in a monologue. We never thought it would get to the point where we'd be taping those monologues for like 20 minutes, half an hour. It's sort of the closest version of what I thought TV was when I was 14 years old. We're just in a room with your friends making a TV show. Ricky Gervais famously was in an unsuccessful new wave band back in the 80s, but now the frontman from Siona Dancing, Ricky Gervais, is set to revive his music career. He's written his first serious song in 40 years, plans to put it out as a single. It's called Just Three Things. It was written for the upcoming third season of Afterlife. I gotta finish Afterlife season 2. I get distracted. An instrumental version of Just Three Things made it into the show, but Ricky says the version with lyrics has been recorded, is ready for release. He's even shot a video. However, he won't be singing it. He wrote the song with the former drummer for Razorlight, Andy Burrows, who provides the vocals. Burrows also worked on the soundtrack to David Brent Life on the Road, which is pretty good if you haven't seen that Office spinoff. And he was the drummer in the film's fictional band Foregone Conclusion. Ricky told The Sun, I'm worried about putting it out because I'm embarrassed, as it's a real song. I can put out ironic songs as David Brent, but I haven't written a serious song in 40 years, so I'm thinking, what if it's crap? But it's not. It's really good. You're worried about the critical reaction more than when you're being stupid, because when you're being stupid and somebody says that's rubbish, you're like, I don't give an F. If you're being really serious and somebody says it's rubbish, you go, F, is it? From the rap, Hasan Minhaj will star in, co-write, and produce a comedy called For the Culture. This is set in Bollywood's highly competitive world of college dance competitions. It is described as a high-energy, raucous comedy set in Bollywood's cutthroat dance world and hopes to capture the vibrant, joyful celebration of Indian-American culture. That sounds like a good time. Queens native Steve Hofstetter coming back to Queens. He's from Queens. I'm from Queens. He'll be in Briarwood on Saturday to film his new comedy special, The Recipe. He's filming it at PS 117 on 143rd Street. He attended PS 117 until the age of 12, shows at 7 and 9:30. His special, The Recipe, is described as a heartbreaking and hilarious set that explores Steve Hofstetter growing up in a mixed family, setting out on his own, achieving his dream, and the grief surrounding the loss of his father. Steve said a lot of it is gallows humor about being the last through pain, which is a subject I think a lot of people can relate to these days. The special's different from what I've done in the past and from what a lot of comedians do. It's got a beginning, middle, and end, and it's written so people can watch it multiple times, and it's more like a movie than a traditional stand-up set. He decided to film the show at PS 117 since it was the first stage when he was in his first play 35 years ago. That's kind of cool. The show will double as a fundraiser for the school and the Teachers Donors Choose program. Steve said, instead of just buying tickets, someone can donate to any of the Teachers Donors Choose programs and be able to redeem that donation for a ticket. Not only does it raise money for the teachers and their projects, but also allows for people who couldn't afford a ticket to come and see the show. A lot of people had a rough year and a half. It allows us to raise money for the right people and help those who need it. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That's the daily five-minute show. I am the writer for it. We talk about the royal family, which means we make fun of Harry and Meghan. I mean, come on, man. Every day, they just do something. It's like, do you not want us to make fun of you? I try not to, but it's like, come on, man. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. So I want to give you a heads up. At the end of today's podcast, there will be a very serious subject. It is related to comedy, but just want to let you know that's coming. Remember when you used to watch NBC and you would be like, oh, an NBC sitcom, this must be good? Well, let's find out if these new ones are good. Tonight and tomorrow, NBC is giving viewers a glimpse of two brand new sitcoms. Tonight, American Auto, Anna Gasteyer and a bunch of others, takes place in the auto industry. It's from the same team that brought us Superstore. Then tomorrow, Grand Crew, described as a comedy of a group of young black LA professionals living their best lives and unpacking the ups and downs of life and love. The series stars Nicole Byer. Speaking of NBC sitcoms, have you ever heard of Friends? It was pretty popular, ran for a while. Remember they did a reunion last year? Sounds like Jennifer Aniston had a tough time with it. She spoke to Variety and said, time travel is hard. I think we were just so naive walking into it, the reunion special, thinking, how fun is this going to be? They're putting the sets back together exactly as they were. Then you get there and it's like, all right, I hadn't thought about that was going on the last time I was actually here. And it took me by surprise because it was like, hi, past. Remember me? Remember how that sucked? You thought everything was in front of you and life was going to be gorgeous and you went through maybe the hardest time in your life. It was all very jarring. And of course, you've got cameras everywhere and I'm already a little emotionally accessible, I guess you could say. So I had to walk out at certain points. I don't know how they cut around it. Interesting, right? Also, Variety said, is it true you met with Lorne Michaels about a role on SNL and it was you who wasn't interested? Let's see her answer. I'm not sure I'm going to believe her answer before I even read it. Jennifer said, that's right. That was right before Friends. I remember walking in. It was David Spade and Adam Sandler, and I knew those guys forever, and I was so young and dumb, and I went into Lauren's office, and I was like, I hear women are not respected on this show. I don't remember exactly what I said next, but it was something like, I would prefer if it were like the days of Gilda Radner and Gene Curtin. I mean, it was such a boys' club back then, but who the F was I to be saying that to Lorne Michaels? So yes, adorably that happened, and I've hosted SNL a couple times. I love it so much. Next, that serious subject from Jezebel. The Survivor comedy duo wants you to know rape victims are horny too. Kelly Bachman says, people a lot of times ask me if I'm a comedian because of trauma. No, actually, I'm funny because I'm funny. Jezebel writes, nearly 10 years ago, comedian Daniel Tosh directed a gang rape joke in his stand-up set at a female audience member after she told him rape jokes aren't funny. He said, wouldn't it be funny if that girl got raped by like five guys right now? Since that happened, the discourse around the rape joke has become more nuanced as more comedians who are survivors have weighed in. Enter Kelly Bachman and Dylan Adler's two-person musical comedy show titled Rape Victims Are Horny Too. Bachman said, we wanted to show survivors are not just like wilted flowers who are sad, suffering victims all the time. For Dylan and me, we're laughing. We're silly people, joyful people, and we're sort of defiantly joyful in the way we deal with our own pain. Adler added, yes, we've experienced trauma, we're still mourning, and that can make it confusing that we still have desires, want to be admired, but also not wanting to be pursued. Before Bachman met and began working with Adler, Bachman was one of several women comics who confronted Harvey Weinstein as he sat in the audience at a stand-up show in 2019. I remember that incident. While performing her set, she said, I didn't know we'd have to bring our own mace and rape whistles to Actors Hour. Bachman joked in the duo's live 2020 show, when I was getting raped 4 years ago, that's one leap year ago. I kept thinking to myself the whole time, I can't wait to use this to get ahead in comedy. They're going to see my name in lights. It's going to be a victim. She knows the show's not for everyone. The duo reflected on the name of the show before going with Rape Victims Are Horny Too, aware of the sometimes triggering nature of the word rape. But it was important for them to be authentic to their experiences and the experiences of many survivors who were often told they weren't actually raped. When Kelly and I were talking about the show, we had so many shared experiences. And know how it feels when people say their rape was much worse or when people try to gaslight and belittle your experience. We learned so many other survivors have felt their way too, and we had to put it in there and just let people know that's what the show is about. That's your comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.